Here we go with episode number 118.
It's time for Road Trekking, the podcast. Traveling North America in a small motor home. Exploring, camping, boondocking, embracing the RV lifestyle, and sharing tips and where to go and how to keep things running right. Here's award-winning journalist Mike Wendland and his network of road trekking reporters.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 118 of Road Trekking, the RV Lifestyle Podcast. No matter what kind of an RV you have, whether it's a motorhome, a towable trailer, a tent, even if you're just dreaming about maybe someday getting an RV, this show is for you because here we talk about being out there, enjoying God's amazing creation, meeting interesting people, boondocking, discovering fun places, and using the right gear and technology to enhance our RV lifestyle. So we welcome you and are honored that you chose to put us in your ears this week. Well, lots to talk about on this December 14th release of Road Trekking the RV Podcast. As I said, episode number 118. And we have an interesting interview coming up on this program. As you can tell from the title of this episode, we're going to talk about self-driving RVs. You've heard about self-driving or autonomous automobiles. Google's testing them. They say Apple might even be involved. And there's all sorts of tests by GM and many of the big car manufacturers. Well, the move towards autonomous vehicles now moves to the RV world, and we have this week an exclusive interview with the man heading up an amazing pilot program for the Erwin-Heimer Group, the very first RV manufacturer in the world to be authorized by a government agency to actually test a self-driving RV on the road. They're working on that, and they're going to answer some questions we have for us, and I think you'll find this really fascinating. And let me just give you a little hint, because the interview is coming up in just a minute or so, but it's a lot shorter than you might think. You might think it's, you know, way down there for your kids or grandkids, but no, it's shorter than you think. Well, you'll meet the guy who's heading that up for the Erwin-Heimer Group a little later on in the program. Plus, we've got, as promised, a big list of upcoming RV shows for January. If you're in the market for an RV, you want to visit an RV show to shop for them, there's a whole bunch. In fact, we can't do all of the ones that are coming up in January. There's just so many. So we'll do the first couple weeks worth, and you'll hear that later on. And we've got an RV news story. If you love the national parks and you're a senior and you get in with that $10 lifetime pass, and if you're thinking that that's what you want to get, you better get one soon because there's efforts to increase the price of that. And we'll talk about that coming up a little later on as well. But first, my lifelong traveling companion and my bride, Jennifer. Hello, my dear.
Hello, Michael.
Well, cold weather's here.
I know.
We still are in our Michigan home.
And the snow is beautiful.
10 inches of snow we got the other day.
And we were entertaining that evening, and eight couples made it to our house.
Yeah.
And we live where it's hilly and
I thought
slippery.
I was going to have to put a couple of them out in the road track.
We didn't know if they were going to have to spend the night.
The roads got worse and worse. That's another nice thing about having an RV in your driveway. Hey, you just fire up the heater. You can go back in there and sleep. Yeah, I spent most of yesterday afternoon digging out the road track. It was covered with a helmet of snow, 10 inches of snow all over the solar panels.
And then today you're having trouble moving.
Yeah, I've got a bad back. Yeah, I do.
Wonder how that happened.
Oh, I don't think it was the snow.
It was heavy. It got heavy wet.
Yep. Well, let's see. Oh, hey, we're going to welcome a new sponsor to the program. I'm really excited about these guys. Sunshine State RV in Gainesville, Florida. They are the newest Road Trek dealer in the country, and these guys have an incredible offer for our listeners, for people are looking for them. I'm just going to give you a little hint. You know what they'll do?
No.
If you buy a new or a used, they have a huge inventory. If you buy a new or used Road Trek from Sunshine State RV in Gainesville, Florida, they will deliver it to you no matter where you live in the country.
That is a good deal.
I mean, they'll take it to your house, to your doorstep. That is a really good deal. Anyway, you'll meet them. They're going to sponsor our interview of the week this week, and they're coming up a little later on, brand new sponsor. We'd love to have those. Let's see. I'm all excited. I ordered my fishing kayak today.
Woohoo.
Yeah.
For, and you got a life jacket for Bo so he can go fishing with you, right?
I was looking at fishing kayak. You know, you go to the University of YouTube and you can find anything. I was looking at kayak fishing videos and there are pictures of guys out there fishing with their dogs.
But Bo can't get wet. We don't want salt water on him.
Oh, well, he'd just have to get dried off. But
he'd have to get a bath.
So Jennifer says I have to take Bo kayak fishing. That's going to be fun. I think he'd go with me, but I think he'd get bored real quick. But and I don't know what I'd do when I caught a fish. When he would really freak over that. That'd be fun.
Our first elk hound. Remember how excited she used to get when you caught a fish?
Well, they're Norwegian, and fish, I guess, is part of that.
They like their fish.
The dogs like fish. And sitting on the studio desk in front of my wife is my brand new drone. So hopefully,
and it's not even Christmas.
It's not even Christmas. So hopefully, I won't get busted by anybody for flying my drone like I did with the National Park Service. This was before we knew that there was a regulation about it. So I respect their regulations. I won't do that. But this drone, everybody's got drones, and these drones are so neat now, the way they fly and the videos they'll get and the pictures. So I'm looking forward to that.
You said the word busted, and I thought you were thinking maybe of busting your drone or breaking it somehow.
No. Well, these things almost fly themselves now. It's really amazing. You control it on your iPad and lands exactly where you start off from. And if it loses your signal, it comes to home. And if it's flying around and sees an obstacle, it either stops, or if you program it such, it'll fly up and around it. It's amazing.
And Bo's not afraid of this one.
No. Well, every dog is different. Our old dog, Ty, when I flew the drone, he got really... he freaked out. I mean, it was like, what is that thing in the sky? And Bo just kind of looked at it. And I think he would have jumped on it if it was on the ground. But he just probably thought it was a weird bird.
Oh, what's freaking Bo out is snow.
Yeah,
I was ready to get
bizarre?
Rid of that dog.
What is he doing? I guess, I don't know. Is it true that dogs only see in black and white?
I don't know. But he was
if anybody knows that, tell us that. I don't
probably Google it.
I suppose so. I should Google it while you're talking.
But he was barking, perpetually barking. He'd look outside and bark. I think everything looked different, and every little sound he was barking at.
Yeah, I think, you know, I mean, all of his things were covered with snow, and
was different.
Yeah, he stopped, and he just, you know, did a look.
I don't think his vision is that good.
Okay, here it is. I just Googled it.
All right.
From the Animal Planet. It says, when you walk down the street with your dog, the almost endless array of hues or colors from the brilliant blue sky to the lush green grass to the red stop sign appears differently to your pet. Dogs have just 1/10 the concentration of color-capturing cones in the back of their eyes that humans have. So while we enjoy a smorgasbord of tinges and tones, dogs only see two colors, blue-violet and yellow, as well as any blends of these colors. The rest of their world appears in shades of gray, like a dreary winter's day. Well, there you go.
I thought it was just black and white, so they have more color than I thought.
Yeah, it says they get a little blue, violet, and yellow in there, but kind of everything in shades of gray. Oh, that's too bad. Well, maybe that's it, because I can't imagine what it would look like. But, you know, there's 10 inches of snow on top of everything, the trees, the table out on the back deck, and Bo just was really enjoying that. Well, we're home through Christmas, and then we hit the road Christmas Day. We're going to have plenty of food in the road trip because there's nothing open on Christmas Day to stop for food.
We'll take food.
Yep.
It's not a problem.
And, hey, we talked about this last week, and several of you called in already, and I'm now really excited about the first program we want to do on New Year's Day, where we all sort of share our bucket list plans for the year 2017.
I can't wait to hear where everybody wants to go, because we'll get some ideas on where we should go.
That's exactly the point of it. And the ones, we've got three of them in there now, and three of them that I'm going to use already, and they are really good. Things that I didn't know were on there, a couple things that I think I would love to take, especially something in Montana when we're out west this year. And everybody's got one or two places that you really want to go. And if you'd share those with us, we would really appreciate it. All you do is use the send voicemail link, send voice message link. It's on the right-hand side, little black strip. If you want, if you have a smartphone and you have a recording, you can make a little file out of that and send that as well. I don't care how I get them, but I like to hear your voices. And just send them to us at mike@roadtrekking.com. or if you use that leave voicemail link, just use that. It will send it to us automatically. And then what we want to do is we want to edit these all together on New Year, for our first show in the new year, and share everybody's bucket list. I'm really excited about that.
Me too.
So that was actually your idea to do that, wasn't it?
Yes.
That's why you get paid the big bucks. So, all right, are you ready to get to work?
I am ready to get to work.
Is it a gadget, a recipe, a tip? Whatever she has in store for us, it promises to make the RV lifestyle a little more fun or efficient. Here's Jennifer with her RV tip of the week.
Well, it is almost officially winter. And for those in all but the warmest southern states, it can be a real chore to get all the ice and frost and snow off your windshield before heading out in the morning. Keeping the snow and ice off your windshield in the first place makes getting on the road that much easier. So I have a bunch of tips collected from our Road Trekking Facebook group and gathered from our own experience and that of our friends. Tip number one, which I'm not quite so sure about this one, but here it comes. Use an old set of car floor mats to cover your car's windshield in the evening, and you won't have any ice or snow to scrape off in the morning. Carpet remnants also work. Others use clear plastic shower curtains or old tablecloths or old bed sheets. You just put it across your windshield, covering wiper blades so they don't freeze. Open one front door and put it inside the vehicle, and then stretch it and do the same on the other side. In the morning, just slide them off the windshield and have clear vision with no scraping and defrosting.
Now, you know, I was looking at those, and they said that you just don't want to put them on if the windshield is wet.
Yeah, if the windshield's wet. That'd be our luck. We'd put it on, the windshield's wet, and we'd have it there till spring.
But they all swear by it, so.
Okay.
You know. Okay, all that's right. Tip one.
Now, tip number two. Spray a 3-to-1 solution of water and vinegar on your vehicle's windows the night before. It keeps them ice proof. It is necessary to dilute the vinegar, lest it harm your windshield wipers or the rubber around the windows. If it is really cold, like in the single digits, vinegar may not be as effective as rubbing alcohol. You need to prepare a solution by mixing 2 parts rubbing alcohol and 1 part water. Tip number three. To keep your windshield wipers from freezing to the windshield overnight, pull your wiper blades away from the windshield during winter months to prevent ice buildup on the rubber squeegees and to prevent them from sticking to the windshield. Number four, if you forget to do these things the night before and you come out to find a frozen windshield, try this. Fill a small spray bottle with windshield washer solvent. When your windshield is iced over, spray, beginning at the top of the windshield, and work down towards the midway point. This starts a melting process, and the top area will loosen up by the time you get to the other side of your car. Finally, tip number five, visibility is fundamental to safe driving. Although drivers depend on their vehicle's wiper blades to clear away rain, sleet, and snow, many wait to replace them until they need them the most. You should change your windshield blades every 6 months or as soon as you notice the difference in driving visibility. When wiper blades no longer make proper contact with the windshield surface, they begin to squeak, skip, smear, or streak, reducing driving visibility. And the worst thing you can do with your wipers is to use your windshield wipers to de-ice your windshield. Instead, either use an ice scraper or use your defroster to melt snow and ice. So there you go, winter tips for your RV or your car. Be sure to send me your tips and suggestions for the RV lifestyle. You can use the send voicemail link at roadtrekking.com. Just click it and then use the built-in microphone on your computer or mobile device to record a message to me. You can do it over and over as many times as you want until you're satisfied. And then you just click a button and it comes right to my email inbox. If I use your tip in the podcast, we'll send you a free road trekking hat. I love hearing from you.
Jennifer's tip of the week is brought to you by Rad Power Bikes. RADPOWER, radpowerbikes.com, an electric bike manufacturer offering direct-to-consumer pricing on powerful premium electric bikes. Now, Rad Power Bikes has 3 different e-bike models to fit a wide variety of rider wants and rider needs. Now, you've probably heard a lot of people talk about e-bikes. You might have seen them as you've traveled around the country, because a lot of people are taking an e-bike with them in their motorhomes, and they use that for their transportation. Well, Rad Power Bikes has several different models. One of them is even like a cargo bike, so you can use it to run and get, you know, groceries or supplies and stuff like that, carry that on it. All three models reach 20 miles an hour with zero pedaling. All three models give riders the choice to ride pedal-free with throttle, or you can utilize five different levels of pedal assist for an added boost, or a combination of the two. These e-bikes from Rad Power Bikes are perfect for people who want to get back into riding. Maybe you're recovering from surgery or an injury, and you're looking for that little extra boost to keep up with friends and family. You can go between 20 and 40 miles on a single charge, and they're priced often less than half the price of comparable bikes on the market because the dealer retail markups are cut out. They deal directly with you. You want to go to radpowerbikes.com. And when you buy from them, use the coupon code ROADTREKKING and you'll get an extra $75 off the price. Radpowerbikes.com.
Questions. You've got them. Mike and his network of road trekking reporters have the answers. Here's one of our listener RV questions of the week.
Hi, we are traveling during Christmas in our road trek from Denver to Florida and would like to know some tips for making the winter travel more comfortable. We're thinking of a foam pad on the floor. We have a 2002 road trek 190. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Well, congratulations. That's going to be a fun trip. Looks like, well, we're not the only ones that are going to be on the road on Christmas Day, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's see. They're coming from Denver to Florida, so they're going to have some cold weather they're going to encounter.
They are, but being from Denver, they'll be able to handle it.
Now, you talked about putting, foam pads on the floor.
It'd be something soft to walk on.
Yeah, I don't know if you need that. We have never felt the need for that. We do have a couple of pieces of carpet that we have put down, and that's nice.
Maybe they want to go barefoot.
Yeah, but if you want to go barefoot,
walking around at night, being barefoot.
Yeah, I've seen people with they've gone and they've used these cork tiles that you can pick up at most places, and they're easy to cut, and they're very comfortable, and you could put those over the floor, and that would help a little bit.
I'm wondering about the foam because I'm thinking about it getting dirty with shoes and everything.
Sure, and compressing down. I wouldn't probably use a foam pad on the floor to walk on. Our friends Ari and Jesse Adler showed something, and it was on one of your Tip of the Week a couple of weeks ago. They went to Amazon and they ordered those compression pads that people use when you're on your feet all day, you know, and some people use them in the kitchen area. And they found that those fit perfect. They have, a Road Trek 190, if I'm not mistaken, and that worked really well for
them.
Maybe
that's what they mean, yeah, by foam pads.
Those were compression pads. They were kind of a rubberized pad, and you can go back. It's three or four episodes back on one of Jennifer's Tips of the Week, and you can hear them talk about it, and we put a link on Amazon. You might want to, you didn't say what you were going to put on your bed to sleep in, but you do want a foam pad for your bed, or maybe just a bed topper. We've had both toppers and pads. What's the consensus on our experience?
Well, right now we have the foam pad and that's working well for us. The topper, all the stuffing, the filling kind of went off to the sides in the middle and it quit working.
After use, it kind of just all,
couple
yeah,
years.
Kept washing it. But it was very comfortable the first couple of years. And then it gets, you know, you wash it and the fill kind of jumps up and binds up at the ends or in the different places. So we got rid of that and we bought
just plain foam.
Yeah, a couple of, and it comes in all sorts of lengths. It's very heavy. But we bought, I think
it's an inch and a half.
Inch and a half.
Just a little bit. Ideally it would be thicker, but we don't leave our bed made all the time. For people who leave their beds up all the time, it's easier for them. They can get a really nice, thick, comfy pad.
Yeah. In our case, we take it all apart every night. So, and it's very heavy and it takes up a lot of room. So we found inch and a half. We have room to store those in one of the cabinets. However, if you're one of those who will make up your bed and leave that up all the time, like Jennifer says.
Well, we have a dog who would be jumping all over the bed.
Yeah, a big dog.
A big dog, a 55-pound dog.
Yeah.
Well, he's not 55 yet, but 52. I think their scale's a little off.
Yeah, we had him weighed. Bo was a year old last week.
Yes.
Happy birthday to Bo.
Still full of it.
Yeah, he's still full of it. But I think he's settling down. But if you have a small dog, that's probably not a problem for you. So the first question is, you know, are you going to make the bed up and leave it permanently, as many do? Or like we do, we take it down every time because we like to sit back there in the sofa configuration. And I use it as kind of a portable office a lot. And so it doesn't make sense for us to leave a big pad down all the time.
And if you're thinking about your feet being cold, walking around on the floor, I have a really nice, comfy pair of house slippers that are easy to slip on and off. I like those.
Yeah, those, you have that fleece-lined stuff. But hey, you're going from Denver to Florida, so it's going to soon be warm. And of course, you probably have to go back to Denver as well.
Actually, you just had an opportunity to go to Minnesota and work your ham radio.
At the dog sled race, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
yeah. But
We did that a few years ago.
With Ty. But
it was
with
21 below zero. We camped
out. Wind chill was minus 50
Fahrenheit, and the actual air temperature, I have photos to prove it, 21 below zero, and we camped out in that all night long.
And the reason we're not going to do it again right now is that Ty was a very mellow dog. Bo would be barking, bouncing off the ceiling.
Oh, man, he'd get so excited seeing those sled dogs.
Interfering with the sled dogs, so we don't want to interfere.
Hey, speaking of sled dogs, I didn't tell you this. You know, we have our big winter camp out that we do at Tequamenon Falls in Michigan's Upper Peninsula in just about a month. We do that January 20th. And then we've got, I don't know, 50 people. It's full up. They've already got two feet of snow on the ground up there, by the way.
I don't doubt that. And so they could have three or four by the time we get there.
They probably will by the time we get there. They plow out our spots for us, though.
The more snow, the better.
However, what I wanted to tell you is on the weekends, there are dog sled rides you can take. So we can actually go for a dog sled ride.
Do you think that we could put Bo to work?
I don't think
I mean, he is a sled dog.
They wouldn't have him.
Really does want to work.
But, well, we'll have some stories
on that. All dogs need to work.
Get a job.
No, they do. No, they... We're all right, made to do something.
Well, we kind of took that caller's question and we kind of went off in our typical million miles away. But Sharon, I hope we gave you some ideas there, and enjoy your travels. We have another question we want to take. Now, there's a lot of noise in this. Obviously, they were on the road driving when they left this question, but I think you'll be able to hear it.
Hi, Mike. It's Marge. We recently purchased a CS Adventurous 2015. And it didn't come with the side door screen. And I seen on one of your blogs that you and your wife have a aftermarket one. Just wondering if there's some way you can let me know where to purchase an aftermarket screen. Really appreciate it. Thank you.
You can get one added. Just check with Road Trek and you can get one.
Yeah, call a Road Trek dealer. They are now offered through most of the Road Trek dealers. And the one we have is magnetic. You kind of lock it in with some latches. It's very easy to put up, two sections, and then the opening in the middle is held together by magnets, and you kind of push them apart and push them together, and it does a really nice job.
I was so grateful to get that because I'm not an AC person. If I can have windows open, I would never turn on the AC unless, you know, it's so hot you can't stand it. And also the screen for the back.
Yeah, we have a screen for the back, and you can get those from your Road Trek dealer. Now, I know that I have seen, and there are people who make actual, on a little aluminum frame sliding screen doors. It's been our experience, and I believe it's pretty true of everybody who has them, that they are great for a while, but they tend to break. As the vehicle shifts and goes up and down, it's very difficult to keep those aluminum screen slide doors working on a Class B type van. So that's why we stick with the magnets.
And it depends on the personality of your pet, if you have a pet.
Who's very aggressive.
Our first dog... We had the screen. He could have gone out, but he never did. Bo, he goes out.
He would go out. And all I'd have to do is push open and it would go out.
So. Yeah, so it's not going to keep your pet securely in.
If you have a pet, that's a consideration. So as I mentioned, Road Trek dealers can get you that. There is also a place called the Sprinter Store for those of you who have Sprinter-based RVs like we do. And they sell some similar ones. As do our friends at Skeeter Beaters, and they sell them for all different models of RVs. Skeeterbeaters.com, go right there. They make the ones that we love. They're like a little magnetic screen mesh that you put on the outside of the passenger door and the driver's door. And then you can roll down the windows and get air through that way. They now have them that you can put in the center section as well. So go to skeeterbeaters.com and you can look there. So that should give you some opportunities. Well, thank you for those questions. We love getting listener questions. We could use more. And thank you, my dear, for helping me out.
My pleasure.
Want to be part of the podcast? Ask a question. Leave a comment.
Look on the right side of Mike's RoadTrekking.com blog and click the send voicemail button. We welcome listener voices and love your questions.
Well, sponsoring this part of the podcast is Van City RV in St. Louis, Missouri, and their partner dealerships Creston RV in Kalispell, Montana, and Wagon Trail RV in Las Vegas, Nevada, bringing you the largest inventory of Class Bs from three locations. If you're in the market for a Class B RV, you know they are in high demand, and that's why you'll want to check in with these three dealers, VanCityRV.com, CrestonRV.com, and WagonTrailRV.com. Three dealers that specialize in Class Bs from all of the major manufacturers. They have new and used models in stock on the lot right now, ready to deal. They sell road treks and pleasure ways and leisure travel vans and Class B, B pluses, other small motorhomes. Here's Dan, the van man, with their specials for this week.
Thanks, Mike. Hey, we want to announce our December to Remember sales event. All remaining in-stock 2016 models must go. We have Chinooks, Road Treks, Pleasureways, Coachman Gallerias, and more. You can check those out at VanCityRV.com, CrestonRV.com, or WagonTrailRV.com. Get great discounts with factory incentives and inventory reduction discounts, in effect until the end of December. Just a reminder, all locations will be closed between Christmas and New Year's to celebrate the holidays. Have a great holiday.
Well, if you have been following the automotive news over the past few years, and particularly technology and automotive, the automotive world, you are well aware that probably the hottest topic out there has to do with autonomous vehicles. Really started a few years ago with self-parking cars, and now we're talking about self-driving cars and self-driving RVs. It was announced just a little over 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, that the Irwin-Hymer Group of North America, the owners of Road Trek Motorhomes, have become the very first RV manufacturer in the world to get a government permit to test automated vehicles. And they're working right now on an autonomous Mercedes-Benz Sprinter Road Trek vehicle. It's part of their joint project that they're working on with the province of Ontario and the University of Waterloo up there near Kitchener, Ontario, their headquarters. It is a pretty exciting plan. And to help us understand just what is involved in this, what the timeline is, what does this mean to RVers, a self-driving RV? I'm really excited to have on the program Joel Adams. Joel is the Director of Engineering and Innovation for the Irwin-Hymer Group of North America. Well, joining us right now from the Irwin-Hymer Group of North America is Joel Adams, the Director of Engineering and Innovation and the man that's heading up this pilot project about the autonomous RV. Joel, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Mike. Pleased to be here.
Well, let's talk a little bit about what this pilot program is. And as I read this, you guys are the very first RV manufacturer to be studying this and actually involved in a program on developing an autonomous RV. Tell us about that program, first of all.
Yeah, we've been looking at this for the last couple of years. Autonomous vehicles are one of the big trending topics in the broader automotive world, and it only made sense to us that it's eventually going to come to the RV world. But as innovators in the space, we wanted to make sure that it came to us first.
Well, when I think of autonomous RV, I got to say the very first thing that came to my mind was a scene from the Anchorman 2 movie, Ron Burgundy, and he was taking all of his buddies on the news team there, I think to an awards ceremony in New York or something, and they were in an RV, and he had the auto drive on the RV, and so he got up from the driver's seat and went back with everybody, and The RV obviously went off the road. So talk about what this program that you're doing in cooperation with Waterloo, University of Waterloo, and their involvement with tech. You're kind of, that's kind of the MIT of Canada, is it not?
Yeah, absolutely. Waterloo has the largest engineering school in Canada, largest co-op education program in the world, and we've had a relationship with them for years. We hire engineering students and graduates from the university, and it's just down the street from us. But we're also engaging in some research programs and working with them in other ways to build up kind of the auto tech community around our company and around our community.
What exactly does this research project involve? I mean, do they have vehicles that they'll be working on? Are you, how, just kind of give us an overview of what an auto an autonomous RV pilot project does.
Absolutely. So our project actually is, at this point, it's technically it's independent from the University of Waterloo's project, but we've been sharing notes with their teams, and we'll probably do some more, you know, direct work with them going forward. But they have a Center for Automotive Research, which is the largest group of researchers in Canada focused on automotive studies. And they also have a significant number of student teams who work on automotive-type technology projects, including building cars and testing cars, more environmentally friendly products and systems, and so on. So one of their projects is to actually develop software for an autonomous car that they've had built. And they'll be testing it. They have a permit now to test it on Ontario public roads. So they were one of the first two to get that permit in Canada. We were the other one. And since then, BlackBerry has also joined the mix. So we are actually the first manufacturer in Canada to have license to test fully autonomous vehicles on the road of any type, although we'll obviously focus on RVs.
Talk about, in general, how an autonomous RV would work and how would that benefit RV owners? Just kind of look way out into that engineering future and tell us how that might change our RV lifestyle.
Well, the end of that scene with Ron Burgundy is exactly what we don't want to happen. One of the main thrusts of what we're doing is to really focus on, you know, safety aspects initially, and that's important for our testing internally once we put the vehicle out on the road, but also that's ultimately one of the long-term objectives here. You know, people who come to the RVing world, often aren't familiar with driving, you know, larger vehicles, and a lot of the systems that are being developed for autonomous vehicles in the near term are things that are going to make all vehicles safer, including RVs. So we're very interested in that. When we look out, you know, further afield, you know, we start to think about how it may change the overall RVing experience. If the driver doesn't have to be engaged all the time, and you consider an RV trip with a family of four, you know, going down the highway, you know, traveling through the mountains, lots of great scenery, you know, and, you know, mom or dad in the driver's seat have to keep their eyes focused on the road, whereas everybody else gets to look around and enjoy the view, enjoy the mountains, take pictures, talk about what's going on. And sometimes the driver is less engaged with the rest of the journey, at those times. So we think there's opportunities, you know, going forward where as autonomous technology comes into the marketplace, that, you know, the whole family would be able to interact in different ways within the vehicle.
So,
Go ahead.
Well, one of this would depend, would it not, on autonomous roads? In other words, having smart highways and smart interstates. That's a huge part of this equation, isn't it?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. So one of the things people ask us about is, you know, how far away is the technology from being a reality? And in many respects, the technology is already here in place. And you see, you see Tesla and you see Google and, you know, even ourselves now who have been able to demonstrate, you know, working autonomous vehicles either on the road or off the road. You know, for it to really become a reality, it's going to come down to regulations and policies. In some cases, there may be infrastructure that's put in place. You know, not everywhere has, you know, lane markings to follow, things move that can confuse the vehicles. So it's going to take longer, I think, for the regulations to catch up to the technology. But that's part of what we're looking at as well. It's not just about the motors and the sensors.
Looking ahead, one possible way is, you know, we jump in our vehicle and we say we want to go to Yellowstone and take us out Highway 90. And we jump on the interstate. It takes over the controls. It drives for us. Obviously, the driver still has to be somewhat engaged, but it seems to me that this would make it a lot easier to travel long distances because you wouldn't have quite that fatigue factor. And you program in almost like you do with the GPS where you want to go and when you want to get off. And the vehicle sort of is smart enough to read the road and read the traffic and take you there. Is that a reasonable vision of what it might look like?
Yeah, that's absolutely, part of the vision. And as much as, many of us enjoy driving, I enjoy driving in certain cases. I don't like it in bumper-to-bumper traffic. And sometimes, absolutely, you're in an RV and, you know, driving day after day, if you're going long distances, part of it can be fun, but part of it, you know, it would be great to just have the vehicle take over. And we think that's a distinct possibility in the near future.
What are some of the unique challenges that an RV poses versus a passenger car?
It's interesting because there are challenges. We also think there's some great opportunities with the RV that I'll get to in a moment. But on the challenge side of things, you know, you'll notice that most, if not almost all, autonomous vehicles that have been tested to date have been smaller electric-driven vehicles or hybrid vehicles. So, you know, in those cases, you know, the sensors can be, you know, quite close to the road. Even if you mount sensors on the roof, they still get a pretty clear view of everything around the vehicle. You know, mounting something up on the roof of an RV, the RV itself and things like antennas and air conditioners and solar panels, may block some of the sensors' view of its surroundings. So you may need, in some cases, more sensors or different types of sensors on an RV. Another difference, is just simply the sheer size of the vehicle, which we think, you know, is both a challenge, but also creates some opportunity in that, there is more room to put on systems. Some of our vehicles already have, computer systems. We certainly have our lithium battery systems on many of our vehicles, which can be used to power some of the autonomous features that may be coming down the road. So the size of the RV gives some advantage to being able to do things with earlier generations of technology, as well as, simply the sheer size of the vehicle, presents more of a need. You know, there's people that may never consider RVing because they're scared of the size of these vehicles versus what they're used to. We believe a lot of the features that we're looking at will be able to open up the marketplace for more people.
That's pretty amazing. As we look at the future, how far out is all of this stuff, both for automotive, for the automotive part and the RV part? I mean, are we talking 50 years, 20 years, 10 years? How far down do those who, like you, Joel Adams, who are involved in this research and innovation, how far out is this?
Well, I'm quite certain it's not 50 years out. It's not next year. But somewhere between, the next few years and 10 years out, I think we'll see pretty wide-scale adoption of autonomous technology. It may not be, fully autonomous highways, but we already live in what I would call a semi-autonomous world. We have everything from our backup cameras, our lane change assist, collision detection, smart parking on some vehicles, We're already kind of moving in that direction, and certainly we all use, you know, GPS and navigation systems and Google Maps. So we tap into a lot of that intelligence already. So it's not going to be an overnight transition, but over the next, you know, 5 years, we'll see, I believe, significant portions of the autonomous technology adopted across the automotive industry. If we have something to say about it, which we think we do, we'll see it adopted within the RV industry as well.
It's pretty exciting. I, of course, I'm based in Detroit, and in my journalism career, working closely a lot with covering the auto industry. I remember the very first time I drove a self-parking car. It was both amazing and unnerving as I watched the car do such. I was always prideful of how good I could parallel park. And watch this car do it. Nail it. Perfect every time. But, you know, you said something that I want to just end this on, and that is that we already have some of that stuff, particularly the Erwin-Hymer Group with its Volt Start system. I am amazed every time that kicks in on our CS Adventurous XL. I mean, this is a pretty amazing system itself. It reads the batteries as they go low, and then it will start your vehicle for you and charge them while you're sleeping or if you're even out of the vehicle. That's a pretty significant innovation in and of itself, is it not?
Oh, absolutely. And it's innovations like that that led us to this point. You know, we've been working on the lead up to autonomous features for years at the Erwin-Hymer Group and on our Road Trek brand of vehicles, and things like Volt Start and our EcoTrek battery systems are really, you know, predecessors to some of the things you need to have on what we would see as a fully functioning autonomous RV. And without getting into all of our secret sauce, you know, we think that there are a lot of changes and a lot of opportunities to make improvements to the RVing experience in an autonomous world that extend beyond just the driving or driverless aspect of that experience. And one of the reasons why we've, you know, built this, you know, first in the world vehicle and obtained the permits to be able to start road testing it at various levels of autonomy is not just to move the technology forward, but it's also to inspire our customers, our potential customers, our engineers, our marketers, and suppliers that we work with, OEMs that we work with, to try to see, you know, where we can push the boundaries and where they may have ideas for what the future of the RV looks like. So certainly we hope this is an inspiration for others as well.
Well, it's pretty exciting. And as somebody who was right at the first in testing the lithium system and Volt Start and solar and watching how far you have come in what, the 3 years since really that began with the first E-Trek. And here we are now talking about autonomous RVs. Joel Adams, you have a very exciting job.
It's a lot of fun. You know, as Jim Hamill says, who has more fun than us?
That's about it. Well, the RV world continues to evolve and change. And at the very forefront is this autonomous RV pilot project from the Erwin-Hymer Group of North America. Joel Adams, thank you so much for being with us on the program. And we'll check in from time to time to see how this is coming.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it, Mike. Thank you very much.
Self-driving RVs. Thanks, Joel, for your time on the interview. And as I said, we'll want to monitor that and see how that goes and watch the future. I was surprised to hear how soon this is. Within 10 years, he says. So we will see it. It's pretty cool. I am also extremely excited to welcome a brand new sponsor to the podcast, Sunshine State RVs in Gainesville, Florida. Now, you want to remember this group, Sunshine State RVs. I'm going to go down and actually visit these guys in person in a couple of weeks when we are in our area. We like to go to the Panhandle of Florida right after Christmas, and we're going to kind of make our way over to North Central Florida and visit these guys in Gainesville, Florida. That's where they're located. But, you know, with the internet, they're your dealer wherever you live in the country because they're as close as a couple of mouse clips. These guys are Class B RV experts. Now, for a number of years now, they have very quietly built up a very loyal following of people because they have always carried one of the largest inventories of used or previously owned Class Bs anywhere you'll find. All the popular brands, Road Trek, Pleasure Way, Winnebago, Leisure Travel, and many more. I don't think we'll find a wider selection anywhere. They have so many of them, from older models as old as 1990 to, you know, units that were just turned in this past year that are brand new. But the thing that is really exciting about Sunshine State RVs is Road Trek Motorhomes themselves, the folks at Erwin-Hymer, recognized what an impact these guys were having on the industry. And they have now made them their brand new Road Trek dealer. So they sell new Road Treks as well as used. And one of the things that is so exciting about their sponsorship is they have made a very special offer to our Road Trekking listeners that if you buy from them, they will deliver it to you anywhere in the country. That's right. They will deliver to your driveway. And can you be sure it's safe? The internet makes everything easy to shop for now. But Sunshine State RV goes through every RV they sell. Everything that every RV they advertise goes through a very thorough 172-point inspection. The mechanical system, all the manual systems, they make sure they're all in top condition. Every RV is road tested to make sure it runs and drives the way it should. They go over the interior components just as entirely as the outside, and everything is turned on and tested to be sure it works. All the RVs thoroughly cleaned and detailed inside and out. They even check for the roof for cracks and replace any silicone caulking up there. I am delighted to have these guys as sponsors on the program, and I want to introduce you to Nick from Sunshine State RVs, and Nick's going to even tell you about some of their other specials that they have going on right now. Welcome to the program, Nick.
Hey, this is Nick with Sunshine State RVs in Gainesville, Florida. We have the largest selection of used Class B RVs in the country. We're also the newest Road Trek dealer in the U.S. We have been specializing in Class B RVs for the last 10 years. It was a perfect fit for us to partner with Road Trek to offer new RVs as well. We currently have over 30 used Class B RVs in inventory, and we just got our first shipment of new Road Treks. We even got in a coveted E-Trek model. We're running a special for Road Trekking listeners, free delivery anywhere in the U.S. for any RV you buy from us. And remember our amazing used selection. We just got in a 2009 Road Trek Adventurous with only 22,000 miles and a 2009 Road Trek Agile. Best of all, every used RV we sell comes with a 90-day warranty that can be used anywhere in the U.S. Check us out on sunshinestatervs.com.
News. Mike's got news.
RV news, travel news, tips and trends about the small motorhome lifestyle.
Here's the Road Trekking news of the week.
All right, I got three pretty big RV-related stories for you this week. The first one, this is a very controversial topic, and it shouldn't be. Now, we all like bargains, don't we? And probably the best bargain that you will find in the RVing world out there is if you are 62 or older, for $10, you can get a lifetime pass for our national parks. $10, lifetime pass. It is an incredible bargain. And like many other people, Jennifer and I have had one now for a number of years, and we use it a lot. But you know what? I think it should be more. And it's not just me. It's really the National Park Foundation, National Park Service, and many people who love our national parks who have noticed the backlog of maintenance and infrastructure work needed at all of our national parks. And so they've been talking about ways to increase funding. And just early December 2016, the House of Representatives passed a bill that would allow them to increase the cost of these senior citizen passes, the 62 and older passes. The passes that now are $10, they would go for $80. So that's for a lifetime. And if you don't want to pay the $80, you could buy an annual pass for $20 if you're a senior. The reason they want to do that is because they desperately need the money for maintenance. And that increase of the senior pass would generate about $20 million a year, which would go towards fixing up the parks and keeping them maintained. Well, the House of Representatives passed that, and of course, then they recessed. And you know how the way it works, it would then go to the Senate, and the Senate has not yet passed it. And it looks like they probably are not going to, because they're about ready to resume just take themselves in a recess until after the first of the year. So I'm sure this will come up again next year. A lot of folks are very disappointed, excited as that it passed the House, but not passing the Senate. That money is desperately needed. There's a couple of other proposals out there, but keep an eye on that. You know, it is a matter of $10 is a ridiculous fee to pay for a lifetime pass to the national parks. I mean, we visit 10, 12 every year. And really, I think it's worth the $80. So I'm all for passing this legislation. I know a lot of you people are very cheap out there, but come on, the national parks are the just such a blessing to all of us. And I think we can pay our fair share more. It's worth more than $10 for an annual thing. So anyway, watch that. There's some people objecting it. Well, you're preying on senior citizens who can afford $4 million motor homes but balk at paying more than $10 for a lifetime pass. Come on, that does not compute. Let's help our national parks go. We'll see where that legislation goes. We'll keep our eye on it, but be aware that that's out there. Also, for those of you who already have the $10 passes, don't worry. They are grandfathered or grandmothered in, however you want to use the phrase. And you can always donate more to the National Park Service when you go in. But if you're thinking about getting one, now's your time for 10. But they do need some help, and we'll see where that goes. Good news from our friends at Great Smoky Mountains. Good news amongst a lot of bad news, as you know, devastated by the most serious fires they've ever had in their history. The park is reopened this past week, opened Friday, December 9th. As well as most of the town of Gatlinburg, many of the roads leading into and out of the park, some of the visitor areas that had all been closed since November 28th when that Chimney Tops 2 wildfire started. Gatlinburg is now reopened to visitors, and it's been just a terrible couple of weeks for the folks in the Gatlinburg Great Smoky Mountains National Park area. The most challenging and emotional days our community have likely ever endured, according to Park Superintendent Cassius Cass, who said in a news release announcing the opening of the park. Lots of things happening. First of all, they caught two kids who they're arrested, charged with aggravated arson for starting one of the big fires. And let's see, Dolly Parton, who has Dollywood down there, has a big telethon that's coming up very soon. And she's got just a ton of country celebrities who are going to help to benefit the wildfire victims. Thousands of people were displaced from their homes, and just the damage was incredible. So, tough thing. But the park is back open again. They did have to cancel a number of things. If you were planning on the annual Festival of Christmas that they have, that was set for earlier this week, they had to cancel that. There's a 100-mile hike challenge celebration that they were going to do last weekend. That's been postponed. It will be coming up. There was a holiday homecoming event that was on a mountain farm there. That's still going on, hopefully on the 17th. But you can go to the National Park Service website, look up the Great Smoky Mountains National Park, and you can see everything that's up to date. But if you're a TV fan, December 13th, there's a big telethon in Nashville that Dolly Parton's hosting, that with a lot of stars to benefit all the people who were displaced. 2,400 structures damaged or destroyed in that fire. But the good news is the park is back open again, and people are out there trying to help. One more story, and it's kind of a complicated story, but it's a significant story for the outdoor industry, which is what, you know, the RV industry is part of, and all of the RV industry is part of, in general, the outdoor industry. We now know what an economic colossus it is, the reach of the outdoor industry. Its wealth that it generates is enormous, and its influence. To understand this story that I'm going to, and there's a link to the full story you can find on the show notes for this episode, but in 2005, the Outdoor Industry Foundation had a study done on the economic strength and influence of the outdoor industry itself. And it was pretty impressive, but they did a follow-up to that 6 years later. And that is what stirred the giant from its slumber. The outdoor recreation economy, you know how much it is? $646 billion. Nearly as much as Americans paid for pharmaceuticals and motor vehicle sales and parts combined. And most of the industry stakeholders were excited about that. Well, now a bipartisan bill has sailed through Congress, support from both parties, both the House and Senate, signed into law by President Obama on December 8th. The outdoor industry is now primed for a gargantuan reveal. The Outdoor Recreation Jobs and Economic Impact Act of 2016, they call it just the REC Act, REC, REC, authorizes the Department of Commerce's Bureau of Economic Analysis to assess outdoor recreation's contribution to the nation's gross domestic product, or GDP. This is huge. This legislation effectively brings the outdoor industry out of the shadows, calls attention to its significance as a job creator and as a revenue booster. And then outdoor recreation, of course, has the support, one of the few issues that both parties support. It means, in essence, that we're going to see much more of emphasis put on the outdoor industry. It's going to have more influence on everything we do, from the way the whole economy functions. And that is all good news for RVers. I'll put a link to all this history about it on the show notes. So you can find all that. Just go to roadtrekking.com/118. This portion of the podcast brought to you by Aldi, the only name in heat that you need to know for your RV. We have it. We have the Aldi hydronic system on our Road Trek CS Adventurous XL, and Jennifer and I would not be without it. We love this system. Hydronic system, it's kind of like the high-end baseboard hot water heat that you get in estates, in real expensive homes. This is a silent radiant heat for your RV. And thus it provides a very warm, even, natural heated interior. It's great for pets, by the way. Gives you increased interior space because it's combining your hot water heater and your regular air heating system in one. So efficient. The Aldi system draws less than 1 amp on 12 volts DC, and thus it extends the life of propane roughly 40%. I use mine a whole lot. I just filled up with propane this week. You know when I filled up before? Back in April. And we used it in the spring where it was cool. We used it a couple of cold nights in the winter when we were up in the mountains. And we've been using it extensively all fall long. And we used it, of course, to cook as well. That's how long my propane lasted. And I know it's because that Aldi system is so efficient. Lots of options, lots of great amenities you can get. We have the heated floor. And boy, is that nice when it's cold. When it's cold in the morning or at night, you can pad around on your bare feet, you know, and it's so comfortable. All controlled by a modern programmable color touchscreen. Aldi, A-L-D-E. It is the only name in heat you need to know when choosing a heating system for your RV. They're available on many different RV platforms. Road Trek has them. Winnebago has them. When you're shopping for an RV, just ask around and say, hey, when it comes to heat, I want Aldi, A-L-D-E.
Traveling with technology. It's time now for our RV tech tip of the week.
All right, checking in with our tech tip. It's Christmas time. Time for some great holiday gift ideas. All of them under $100. Helping us find those ideas is our pal from Verizon, Steve Van Dinter.
Hi, Mike. We're coming up on the home stretch before Santa's big day, and now the pressure is on to find the perfect gift for everyone on your list. Well, the good news is you don't have to break the bank to put a smile on someone's face, and each of today's ideas come in under $100. Well, first up is Google's Daydream View. This makes a great gift for anyone on your list and brings the immersive world of virtual reality to their home. And the remote control takes gaming and VR to a whole new level. Keep in mind, though, you do need a Google Pixel or Motorola Z Droid smartphone as well. Well, next, if you've ever dreamt of flying your own plane, or maybe you have a child fascinated by flight, then the Mambo Mini Drone is worth a look. This small and easy-to-fly drone is controlled via a free app on your iOS or Android device. In addition to just flying around, it also comes with a mini cannon, allowing you to make a game out of it. Well, for the audiophile on your list, the Powerbeats by Dr. Dre headphones are a lightweight, durable, sweatproof option, bringing great quality. And finally, who couldn't use more portable power? Well, if this sounds like the person on your list, then you'll want to check out the Mophie Power Station Plus 6000. With this battery, you can leave your cords behind. That's because it comes packing charging tips for both Android and iOS devices. It also has enough juice to power up your smartphone about two times over. Well, I hope these ideas help you cross at least a few people off your list. With this week's Traveling Technology Tip, I'm Steve Van Dinter from Verizon.
Hey, thank you, Steve. And Verizon Wireless is a sponsor, the technology sponsor for Road Trekking, the podcast. Everywhere Jennifer and I travel and all of the internet access I do, and believe me, I use a lot of it. I've got to send my NBC TV tech stories in every week, video stories. I've got to send in the podcast. I've got to go through and update the blog every day. We have new content on the roadtrekking.com blog. I do it all on Verizon. Why do I use Verizon? Because wherever we go in the country, wherever we've gone, I have a good, solid, reliable 4G LTE high-speed connection. I love Verizon. It's the only one I would use. I've tried other carriers early on in our RVing adventures. None of them have the network as robust, as reliable, and as satisfying as Verizon. Can your network say that? If you're stuck on the wrong network, head over to Verizon and get unstuck. Verizon, the official technology provider for Road Trekking, the podcast.
What's happening? Time now to check the RV calendar of events and gatherings you need to know about.
If you're shopping for an RV, there is no better place to go than an RV show, because there you can see many different manufacturers, many different models from the different manufacturers, all in one place. It's so much, so efficient. And usually you'll get a better deal when you buy from an RV travel show or an RV show. They're just, you know, everybody wants the deal. They've got all the stuff there and special pricing. And you can do one-stop shopping, which is great. Well, it's all over now for the rest of this year because of the Christmas holiday. The last show was last weekend that we knew about. But now we're ready to start talking about the January shows. There are so many shows in January that I'm going to have to break this up. I'm going to do the first 2 weeks worth right now. And I'll tell you what, there'll be a link to all of this if you go to roadtrekking.com/118. Scroll down to the RV calendar and you can get all the details. If you say, hey, I thought you said there's one near me and I missed it, you just go back and listen. You'll be able to pick it up. Ready? First weekend, January 5th through the 7th, Denver, Colorado, the Colorado Convention Center. It's the Colorado RV Adventure Travel Show. Also, that same weekend, January 6th through the 8th in Greenville, South Carolina, the Greenville RV Show. That's at the TD Convention Center there in Greenville. In Sevierville, Tennessee, the Knoxville RV Show, January 6th through the 8th at the Sevierville Convention Center. In Wisconsin, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, January 6th through the 8th at the Wisconsin Center. Next up, also January 6th through the 15th, though, at Houston, Texas, at the NRG Center, the Houston Boat, Sport, and Travel Show. Then in Indianapolis, Indiana, January 7th through the 15th, the Indy RV Expo at the Indiana State Fairgrounds. January 7th through the 15th, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, the David L. Lawrence Convention Center, January 7th to the 15th, the Pittsburgh RV Show. In Chicago, Illinois, January 11th through the 15th, the Chicago Boat, RV, and Strictly Sales Show, a big show always, at McCormick Place in Chicago. In Michigan, Grand Rapids, Michigan, it's the Grand Rapids Camper, Travel, and RV Show at the beautiful DeVos Place in Grand Rapids, January 12th through the 15th. Kansas City, Missouri, the Mid-America RV Show, January 12th through the 15th at Bartle Hall. In Allentown, Pennsylvania, at the Allentown Fairgrounds, January 13th through the 15th, the 56th annual RV and campground show there in Allentown. Schaumburg, Illinois, in the Chicago suburbs, January 13th through the 15th at the Renaissance Schaumburg Convention Center, the Greater Chicago RV Show will also be held. So that's January 13th through the 15th. That same weekend in South Bend, Indiana, the Valley RV and Camping Show at the Century Center in South Bend. In Chantilly, Virginia, the Dulles Expo Center outside Washington, D.C., it's the Washington RV Show, January 13th through the 15th. And then the last one that I'm going to mention right now, we'll pick up the second half of the month next week, January 13th to the 16th in Boston, Massachusetts, at the Boston Convention and Exhibition Center. That is January 13th through the 16th, and that's always a big show in Boston, the Boston RV and Camping Expo. We have a complete list on the show notes that'll list everything coming up over the next year, and we'll pick up the rest of January in next week's program.
Traveling North America in a Class B motorhome. This has been Road Trekking the Podcast with journalist Mike Wendland. Got a question for next week? Click the send voicemail link on the roadtrekking.com blog. Till then, we'll see you out there. Road Trekking. Road Trekking.
Well, so ends another episode of Road Trekking the RV Podcast. Remember, if you'd like to have your voice heard and be a part of the podcast, use that send voicemail message on the right-hand side of the roadtrekking.com blog. Just click that button, and you can then use your microphone on your computer to record your question or your comments. Remember what I said earlier in the program, we're putting together a list of everybody's bucket trip ideas for 2017. Where are the top place you want to go and why? Share it with us, because by doing so, you'll give lots of other people ideas for their travel in 2017 as well. We'll put that on our first show of the new year next year. So use that leave voicemail message to send us your favorite place that you're heading to next year. We're delighted that you are with us. New episodes of this podcast are released every Wednesday morning. We invite you also to join our mailing list. We send out a special newsletter to subscribers every Monday morning. About 22,000 of them every week get our newsletter. And you can sign up right from the roadtrekking.com blog. And we'll be delighted to have you be a part of that. There's no charge at all for that. Till next time, I'm Mike Wendland. On behalf of my wife, Jennifer, and our traveling dog, Bo, we say Merry Christmas. And we'll see you out there road trekking. Bye-bye.